Amen. This is our own time of facing the family. And God has been so wonderful. And remember that there are also some people that no matter what we say, they will never change. We know that. And I don't preach a message or I don't have a ministry that will raise up people that fear the pastor instead of fearing God. And you will hear some people talking to their wives. I will do this. And even Pastor Moses will not change my mind. He cannot do me anything if you like. Go and tell Pastor Moses. Now that tells you that person has no fear of God. Because who you should fear is not Pastor Moses. After all, the least, very least I can do for you is to tell you don't come to this church. That's all. That's the least I can do for you is to say don't come to this church. And I'm not your maker. So whether you come to this church or not, it does not affect your life. So you can go ahead and live your life anyhow. Do you know there are men in this house, in this church, not newcomers. They have baptized in the name of Jesus. They follow us to take communion service. They take communion bread and wine. In this church, they still smoke. They drink beer. They come home drunk and the wife dare not talk. We are aware. We hear it. And let me quickly tell you. Amen. I don't enter my message. Now preach and the preach goes so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last week, I said that marriage is supposed to be enjoyed, not endured. You are not to enter into something, an adult. Not be small picking. You had opportunity to consider a decision that will affect your life forever. And you looked and you entered into it. Certainly, you were not going to enter or make a decision that will take away your peace and joy for the rest of your life. Certainly, you believe that this is where I will rest my case forever. I will live with this man. I will live with this woman. Then suddenly, after the marriage, then the person begins to manifest things that makes you regret until sometimes you even want to regret coming to this earth. No woman wants to enter into a marriage and leave. Neither is there any man that wants to enter into a marriage and leave. Every man, a woman, an adult that enters into a marriage relationship, you enter expecting to enjoy it. You are forsaking all other men, all other women, to come together to enjoy the marriage. And so if you find yourself enduring instead of enjoying, then something is wrong. And there's only one or two reasons why you will not enjoy that marriage. Number one is if you do not have the fear of God. Because every action you take is judged by God. In your relationship with anybody at all, with any human being, that human being did not come of his own. So he belonged to somebody. There is someone behind him. He has a maker. He has a creator. Whether it is your wife or it is a neighbor, a business partner or a beggar on the street, whether he is a Christian or an idol worshiper, he has the same God that created you, created that person also. And always know that the creator is interested in what happens around that person. And that knowledge guides how you behave with every human being. It is only stupid and foolish people that are ordained for hell that live their life without that thought in their mind. And that is the guide to know how to relate with that person, that by position, privilege, you are better than that person. Either better academically, better financially, better in your status. And so that person is your house help, or is your houseboy, or is your driver, or is your security guard, or is whatever it is to you, but you are higher. Or that is your subordinate in your office. You are a big oga, he's a small oga. Your salary is big, his salary is small. One sentence from you can dismiss the person. And so you feel you are something. But let me tell you, you are something, yet there is a God that watches the two of you. Praise God. And if you have that knowledge, you will know how to relate with your wife, brother. Why I say so is, we come from a part of the world, Africa, where the man culturally has an upper hand over the woman. I won't preach this message in Europe or America, because over there the woman has upper hand. Amen. The man does the jeje. The accommodation you have, if you are married, even if now you they pay the house rent, you are married, belongs to the woman. If the woman call police, say you threaten, not be say you beat him, you threaten, say I will kill you, I carry phone call, police will come and check you out of the house. Until the woman tell police, say okay, bring him back. But here, now the man, they chase them out. So you can see the opposite. So, thank God, I am not an American preacher. I am an African preacher. I'm talking to Africans. Praise God. We have upper hand with our women. And so we tend to act like gods before them. Sometimes we even design it in such a way that they will remain perpetually dependent upon us, the men. You design it. Some of us, we don't want the woman to go to school, so that her education will not be higher than my own. Or she will not have the same education like me, so that if I say, leave my house, she will have nothing to regret, because she can look for work. Or you will stop her from working, so that every cupboard, the money to rub cream, he will beg you. Money to go market, come back, she will beg you. To go church, come back, she will beg you. Then you become God. You do it deliberately. Deliberately, you design it that way. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching you. Watching you. Every day, mind the course you pursue. Watching you, brother. Watching you. There is an all-seeing eye watching you. And that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God watches our motives. Every action you take, you may say this is the reason, but God knows the true reason why you take that action. It's important. And that this should not be a message for Christians. It's because you have no fear of God, and yet you're going to church. And yet you call upon a God that knows all things, the all-powerful God, the one that has the final say over the affairs of man. Praise the Lord. I am teaching this not as just an ordinary teacher. I teach what I practice. If I teach what I don't practice, it will not carry life. It will not have effect. But come near me. Go near those who live with me. Go and ask my wife behind me. Everything I teach you is what I practice in my house, in my marriage. Thank you. Who talks so? You live with me? Amen. And so many people here listen to what we say and they have been correcting their lives. Don't live your life like your unbelieving father lived. Don't copy your father the way he was manhandling your mother. Don't do that. And don't say, people in my area, this is how they handle women. Don't do that. You are in this world, but not of this world. We have a different lifestyle. And so, what is in my mind now is to know the secret, praise the Lord, of a happy home is to look at the scripture and look at how God, the picture that God paints for us. So, we look at the woman as a symbol of the church of Jesus Christ, which we started last week. And last week, we tried to emphasize that, number one, that marriage, sweetness of the marriage, a good marriage, a Christian marriage, that will stand the test of time. We begin with the women, the man and the woman, each of them, the couple, each of you, knowing your position and taking your position in that relationship. It begins from there. And Apostle Paul told us, when we read in our text, Ephesians chapter 5, can we read it? From verse 30, 31, 32. Ephesians chapter 5. Please, don't say I am not married. You are the one that need it more than the married ones even. That will prepare you as you make that decision. Praise God. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32 is my emphasis. He says, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. He says it is a great mystery. It means there is something that is hidden there, except God grants you understanding. Hallelujah. You will not know. And let me tell you something, the importance of mystery. The importance of mystery. During the vigil, I took time in answering questions about somebody, Joshua by name, who sent us an email and was trying to say concerning the office of an apostle that I was teaching it contrary to what the prophet William Branham taught, and he brought the quotes of the prophet. And what reminds me is how people are following the ministry of William Branham and not understanding what that ministry is all about. And then they have forgotten, praise the Lord. I will never forget. I was an ordinary church member, but a church member that had a bearing. Some years back, when I came across this center message, and we had a wonderful teacher in my church. And I told the teacher, each time he will come, Pastor Enoch Onyeboaha, he will come and then teach deep, deep things, revelational, deep, deep, deep. And everybody would, you know, be hailing him, Kai, this man. But I noticed something, and I called him one day in my office. He visited me, and I told him, I said, there is something I have observed. You go deep into every mystery that you know of in the scripture, but you have not, your conclusion does not lead us to the purpose of the mystery. If you don't get the purpose of a mystery, then it becomes an academic knowledge. Every mystery that has been revealed is to achieve a purpose. The mystery of the serpent seed, what happened in the Garden of Eden, the mystery is not for us to know that the serpent, it was not an apple that was eaten, But it was sex between serpent and the woman. Why must I know that doctrine? One, it helps me know why human beings behave like animals. And secondly, that the first birth has been contaminated. That is why you must be born again. So that you will see reason to submit yourself for a work of regeneration. That is the purpose of the mystery of the doctrine of the serpent seed. William Branham was sent to pull us out of the denominational system. But how will you leave the denominational system and never go back until you know the mystery that produced them? That is why we have the mystery of the revelation of the seals, the seven church ages, the anointed ones at the end time, and all the other mysteries, to let you know that the denominational system is a product of the Antichrist. It is Antichrist system. And that God has no hand in it. So that you will run and never go back there. But a lot of the followers of William Branham have not caught that. And then they are busy saying, William Branham said. Now, if there is a mystery about marriage, and then he says, although he's talking to you about a man and a woman, how that they are now one flesh, then in verse 32 he said, but that this is a mystery, and that he's talking concerning Christ and his church. That means there is something you need to know about your Christian faith, your relationship with God, that is explained and understood in the relationship of a man and his wife. There's a mystery there. There's a mystery there. And until you catch that mystery, you will just look at your wife as a product on a shelf of a supermarket you go to buy, and when you don't like it, you discard it, you pick another one. Until you understand that mystery, you won't know how to hold your wife and hold your marriage. Thank you for that bell. Ring it again. Thank you very much. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, Apostle Paul, the setter of the church in order, started by saying, the head of the woman is the man. And don't ask me, the woman is whose head? Because many people will ask that type of question now. Praise God. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of the man is who? Christ. And I spoke extensively on what he meant. And you have to take time. That is exactly what Apostle Paul was trying to do. To let everybody know your position in that relationship. Even as Christ is the head of the church. That is how the man is the head of the woman. And so your relationship with God as a believer tells you also how a woman should relate with her husband. If you can argue with Jesus Christ, then go keep arguing with your husband. If you can nullify the leadership commandment or change the commandment of Jesus Christ as a believer, then you can also change the commandment of your husband. If you are the one that paid the bride price for your husband, then you can take over the headship. Oh, glory be to God. He said, we, his church, we are his purchased possession. And he purchased us with a bride price on the cross of Calvary. Until a woman realizes that you won't know. You will just think that we are just his men because it's a man that is preaching. Not this man. Man, that's why it is not about man. It is scripture. It's scripture. It's scripture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know now. Some carnal man that will not understand what I'm saying now. He said, hey, pastor, talk up. May this woman hear him today. May this woman hear him. Hey, now God bring this man. Brother, I'm coming to you. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the man. Number one, the man is the head. Hallelujah. And your position, you are not just supposed to stand there. There is something that confirms that you are the head. Because you can be a head, but a dull and dead head. As I say, brother, I'm coming to you. I know one sister will say, brother, say it, make it here. Say it, make it here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the position of the man. The man, let's open Ephesians. Let's let the Bible talk. Ephesians chapter 5, let's open it. Amen. Chapter number 5. Verse 25. This is the role that a man who is the head that is supposed to play. He said, husbands, what are you supposed to do? Husbands. Sisters, keep quiet. Brothers, what are you supposed to do? Why are they talking about Isabel? What are you supposed to do? Brother, shout love. Love now, say it again. How are you to love your wife? He says, love your wives. Even as, you see where he's taking us to now. Even as Christ also loved the church and did what? That is how he loved the church. And that is how every man should love his wife. Love her like Christ so loved us. And gave himself. He gave himself. He gave himself. That means you should love your wife so much until you can die for her. It sounds funny, but until you get to that level, you have not caught the revelation. You are still a traditional man, not a Christian. Any brother here? Is there any brother here that can die for his wife? Your hand. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. Oh, praise God. There are many. There are many. Brothers, clap for yourself. Clap for yourself. Amen. That is your God-commanded role. That is your God-commanded role. And you have no right to marry a woman that you don't love up to that extent. Until you love that woman up to the extent that you cannot do without the woman. Not marriage by obligation. I don't reach age, oh. I don't reach age, oh. Hey, I don't reach 40 now. I never get husband. This month, I must marry this month. I don't get work. I don't get money. My budget now, I have 5 million. Hey, I can marry now. This month. Then you join coordinating department. They think say na coordinator you be. They do like this. They look. Such people don't even know how to chase women. They don't know how to chase women. They're the one that one day just come, sister, can I see you after service? Then you say you see revelation. You then run, they go. Then he's questioning, where are you from? Which village? Ah, my people know they marry from that area. Now chase, they chase woman to marry. If you jam like one sister in my house, even at that in her mouth, when he finish with you, you will not be able to locate your way home that day. They don't know because to them, marriage, you know, what they understand about marriage is different. But Jesus himself did not just go, waka, waka on you. He woos you using the preachers. He used the preachers through the sermons, tell you about the love of God, tell you about how much, while we were yet sinners, there's something he saw. And he loved you so much until to get you to himself, he was ready to go to the cross. Just to get you. Just to get you. And that picture is a picture of a marriage. I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about marriage. But you can't understand marriage until you look at it from that angle first. The way you relate with Christ as a Christian, that is how a woman relates to her husband. That is how a husband relates to the woman. Know your position. Love. And you demonstrate that love. Because love is something that must be demonstrated. You don't tell me by mouth, I love you now, I love you now, I love you now, I love you now. Every woman wants you to prove and confirm. And it is your actions that confirm. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.